from the North Devon coast to the Atlantic shores, from the tropical rainforests to the sunny Azores, from Icelandic wastelands to Australian deserts, this is Cauldron FM, where the magic really happens.
Enter Merlin, but beware, do not interrupt his magic.
And welcome to another edition of the Musings of Merlin with me, the Merlin, on Cauldron FM. And that was the sound of the Gypsy Nomads, or as they are now known, Frenchie and the Punk, with something called Ogre Dance. And I absolutely love that piece of music. Well, in a packed show today, we've got articles, we've got music, and we've also got interviews, an interview with a fantastic band called Ardeath Bay. And this is all coming up after the next piece of music, which is called Acid Rain by Celia Ferran.
I'm feeling dangerous, carving your initials in the milk of my sweet life. You called me sinister, not by your little knees and beg me please. Sing lullabies, I'll be the victim to your vampire. But if you misbehave, dear, I'll deny all your desires. Look to the skies and taste the acid rain. Look to my eyes, look away, come back again. If I could, I'd turn and love you in a sweet embrace. But my baby back at home deserves my grace.
Heart of Middle Earth, the man with the magical fingers, Merlin.
And the next piece is taken from Witchvox, and it's entitled Public or Private? Are You Fully Embracing Your Pagan Faith? And it was written by Reverend Omi. And she says, in my opinion, finding the pagan path is an extremely personal decision. If you choose to be a participant in a group, that is fine. However, worshipping as a solitary practitioner is just as appropriate. What is not correct is anyone telling you that either option is a better choice than the other. Obviously, if you plan to be a teacher, training is essential. But if your goal is to simply enjoy the lifestyle benefits of being a pagan, being loved and being adored by the gods, there is no requirement to get training, earn acknowledgements, or to make your faith public knowledge. In my opinion, if you walk our path as a solitary, know that you are no less pagan than any other who worships the old gods. Our faith is about a personal relationship with divine entities. The pagan pathway is not blocked by a mortal holding the key to admission. Unfortunately, that is often what occurs after someone is defined as pagan clergy. Raymond Buckland, the first author in the USA to write about modern paganism. In his 1980s book, Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft, he addressed this shortcoming. To paraphrase, he stated that few American high priestesses, or high priests, have an understanding that the gods commune directly with each of us. Handing out degrees is not what the gods had in mind as necessary to our worship of them. Dogmatic religions require the path to heaven to be paved with highly trained mortals and a steady stream of donated coins. Does that mean that we do not tithe, donate, volunteer, or serve the leaders in our faith? No, of course it doesn't. But it does mean that lacking cash, equipment, or a local teacher should not prevent access to spiritual satisfaction or knowledge. If getting a good job is motivated by needing enough money for spiritual tools, books, or classes, then I say, what a positive motivator. However, if you are struggling to pay for food or other basic necessities, the road to blessings by divine beings need not require fasting instead of eating. Additionally, everyone is entitled to worship the gods, alone or in a group. Even those with physical, mental or emotional challenges are to be welcomed. Harm none means no one is to be kept from the blessings of the gods if they so desire them. Likewise, those who speak a different language from English, the written language of most books on paganism, should be offered a welcoming hand. Buckland's book, that was based on his upbringing in Europe by native gypsies, is translated into several languages for that reason. Finally, elders should be shown respect and welcomed into circle or honoured for time donated to teaching or counselling with or without compensation. Each student has to be decide what way teachers will be compensated for their time. In 1992, when I began teaching publicly, a $2 donation from each adult was requested to pay for copies of lessons offered each week. The space we occupied, the back of a New Age store, was free of charge. Within a year, we rented a space of our own, and the charge was $4 per adult to cover rent, utilities, and magical supplies. Everyone accepted that no student was ever turned away for non-payment of class fees. Today, the options for finding qualified teachers is far broader and wider due to internet access. But so are the rental fees. Offering to teach without any compensation is irrational. My early teachers required bartered labour and purchased supplies that included cleaning weeds from our sacred circle, buying and preparing ritual food or drink, supplying homemade robes or other needed materials for other participants, or running errands for one or more teachers so that they could write a ritual or a class. Time is money in this modern society. The balance of cash spent for benefits received is a personal choice. Nearly everyone has a different story about how they found the pagan path. For me, it felt like falling in love. I felt safe, loved, cherished, honoured, respected, good enough, and dozens of other affirmations flooded over me from pagan gods that I had not found on other religious or spiritual paths. In all honesty, the only time I feel both completely secure and loved is in meditation with a god. When I am awake, I typically feel guilty without any basis in past, present, or future activities, and never good enough for the expectations of other mortals. I feel blessed to have a non-judgmental faith to keep me reassured during times of feeling insecure. Right after I finished high school, I promised myself I would get a PhD. It took 43 years to keep that promise, to gain acceptance into the University of Arizona. I was mute about my faith. I felt like a prostitute during that time, but it seemed to me that I had no other option. I worshipped every day as a solitary. Additionally, I stayed private about who I was communing with spiritually. I always felt loved and blessed by the gods. I never felt less appreciated by them. I finished because they loved me and guided me along that exceedingly difficult academic roadway. They were with me every step of the way. They never judged me harshly for being private about my love of them. The day I was hooded, I was wearing a clerical stole with the equal-armed Celtic cross as thanks to my deities, but not because I felt that I had to do that for their acceptance. Years after I graduated, my pagan mentor said I could have taken a hard stand to be accepted into the PhD program as a pagan, equal to all other students and respected under federal law. However, after fighting for so many years to resolve the Church of Iron Oak zoning battle, I was tired of fighting bureaucracy. I may have been a disappointment to those I highly respect on this planet, and I am sorry if they see me in that light, but I know that the gods did not fault me for doing what I needed to do to protect my personal resources and not be passed over for scholarships due to my commitment to my matriarchal indigenous European roots instead of the more accepted patriarchal religious options, with specific recorded dogma in lieu of individual moral and ethical responsibility, or any other social prejudices. Being a solitary was easier during those 5.5 years. That is one time I am not sorry I made my own choice. I was thrilled that the gods respected me and never deserted me. I feel that all those who choose to remain solitary have the same love, honour and respect from the gods. Now that I have finished my academic efforts, I will continue openly down the pagan path, knowing full well that public or private worship of the gods are equally honourable. The gods' love of us is present for each of us, regardless if we are public or private about knowing them to be our divine deities. In my opinion, if you walk our path as a solitary, know that you are no less pagan than any other who worships the old gods. And now a little bit about Reverend Omi. She is from a place called Cajones in Mexico, and her real name is Amaterasu Omi Carney. And she earned her credentials as pagan clergy or initiations with ATC English tradition, Asatru Druidism, Gardnerism, Sun Bear Water Pourer, and Shamanism, to meet federal guidelines to enable her to offer prison ministries in Florida and Arizona. She faced many certification challenges. She was founding High Priestess of the Church of Iron Oak and a member of Coven of Phoenix Rising for many years in Florida. Lord Jacobus, who received his training and initiation in 1957, founded the Coven of Phoenix Rising. Omi now resides in central Mexico as presiding elder of Summerlin Monastery ATC, where she is a chronic volunteer for socio-economically marginalized and or disabled Mexicans. So a very, very interesting article there. And that, of course, is copyright to the Summerlin Monastery. I would like to say thank you very much to her for publishing that and for Witchfox for ongoing publishing of it. And I hope you found it interesting. Now let's head off into a piece of music, and I'll see you on the other side. Blessed be.
Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.
I am under. I felt the fire.
was the sound of Sam Lloyd with a track called 2 AM. And would you believe that that young lady is probably in the late teens, a student at Petrock here in North Devon. And if she's doing that now, I think she's got a lot of potential. So, anyway, let's move into some messages and then we'll break out the interview with our Death Bay.
Delphine, a trained therapist, offers Reiki, massage and tarot readings in the comfort of your own home. Readings can also be provided by email. To contact Delphine, please call 07582 459 667 or email delphinesutherland@hotmail.co.uk. For legal reasons, tarot readings are provided for entertainment purposes only.
When it's hot outside, head for the air-conditioned luxury of the coolest bar around, the world's first tropical island ice bar, Bar Ice Samui. Smooth sounds, cool drinks, fantastic ice sculptures, and a generous special discount for island residents. Call in soon to collect your card. Bar Ice Samui on Chuweng Lake View.
Psst, do you fancy a getaway from it all, off the beaten track holiday, far away from city life? You do? Then you really should check out Kalipagium Studios in Velikan, Bulgaria. We offer either self-catering studio apartments, or if you prefer, you can camp in our large grounds. All our guests are welcome to use our large barbecue and patio area. Kalipagium Studios enjoys stunning views of the Rodopi Mountains and is situated within easy reach of the market town of Dimitrograd, complete with its restaurants and shops. If you would like to know more and make an inquiry about booking, check out our website www.kalipagiumstudios.com and complete our inquiry form. Kalipagium is spelled C-A-L-L-E-P-A-G-I-U-M. And just tell them I sent you. Psst, pass it on.
Pass Lane Taxis of Ilfracombe offer a courteous, friendly, reliable service using modern 4, 6 or 8-seater vehicles. Whether it's an airport run, a shopping trip, a school contract or simply a night out in our area, we pride ourselves on being the providers of quality transport. To contact Fastlane, call 01271 866 776 or visit our Facebook page, Fastlane Taxis, going the extra mile for your business.
Coming to an internet site near you very shortly is a brand new business, The Witch's Shop. It caters for everything a witch, pagan or druid could possibly need for any occasion. So to find us, visit www.the-witches-shop.co.uk or you could find us on Facebook. So remember, for everything you could possibly need in your witch's broom cupboard, visit the-witches-shop.co.uk. Sometimes we need an extra pair of hands when looking after an elderly relative, or we need a little help as we approach our twilight years. We specialise in providing a personal care service. Our experienced care team can provide assistance with bathing, shopping, meal preparation at reasonable and competitive rates. Please contact Alison on 01271 864 886. Candor Care, providing care in the community. Warm, comforting, and crafted with love. Old world style and grace handmade to your specifications. Each item is truly unique and all handmade. If you are looking for something bold and showy, or something just like Grandma used to make, search Cozy Crochet and Crafts on Facebook.
The Mrs. Mop's range of chutneys and preserves includes traditional family recipes and our own creations using surprising new flavours in amazing combinations. All our chutneys are free from artificial preservatives, and by always using the best locally sourced ingredients, we are helping to maintain our local economy. Our range is continually growing, and you can try them for yourself by booking one of our Come Taste With Me parties. You supply the wine, and we'll even bring the crackers. To book a party, call us on 07581 735 769 or email admin@mrsmopschutneys.co.uk. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Mop's Chutneys can now be bought from Nana Sue's on Ilfracombe High Street.
Wish Upon a Star Weddings is a place where dreams come true. Our aim is to make your wedding day one of the most magical and memorable days of your life. We will assist in making your dreams into reality and make your special day as unique as you are. We create packages that are specifically designed for you, and taking into account your budget, your day can be as modest or as lavish as you wish. You are in control. Choose venues from country mansions through to contemporary hotels with stunning views. Whatever you have in mind, we will be able to work with you to create something extra special. You can speak to Kim on 01271 862 944 or 07811 322 962, or you can email her at info@wishuponastarweddings.com. After an hour working out in the gym, I really enjoy nothing more than relaxing with a healing massage therapy. Karen Fergaline of Little Birds is a fully qualified, fully insured massage therapist. But you don't have to go to the gym to enjoy one of the Little Birds treatments. You can enjoy an individual massage, reflexology or aromatherapy sessions, or maybe you can host one of their pamper parties for you and a group of friends, or you can organise yourself a group therapy session. To contact Karen, give her a call on 07 969 564 528, email her at littlebirdsmassage@gmail.com, or visit her website at littlebirds-holistics.co.uk. Service at reasonable rates. Our slogan, "We don't cut corners, we clean them," says it all. So if you want fresh, clean carpets, give us a call on 07 530 630 001.
The Carpet Fresh Man.
From North Devon to Delaware, this is Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.
Well, hi, I'm Dave from Cauldron FM, as you probably know, and I'm here in the glorious open-air surroundings at the back of the Sandpiper Inn in Ilfracombe, overlooking the sea, in the company of Ardeath Bay. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm talking to Leona and to Joe.
Yep, yes. That's right.
Superb. Right, first question then, guys. How on earth did you come up with a name, Ardeath Bay?
It was from Boris Karloff's film, The Mummy. It was just the whole thing of it, really, is that it was one bit where he walks in and he announces himself as this kind of, his alias at the time, which is Ardeath Bay, and he was such a kind of creepy, you know, you knew there was more coming from him than his name, you know, he wasn't Imhotep, he was Ardeath Bay, and he just sort of just sounded really cool, and the whole kind of understatedness of it, so he kind of disliked it, and the whole feel of the film and everything.
Yeah, we didn't just kind of look at each other and go, that would be a cool band name.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Superb. Yeah. So, whenabouts did you form this outfit?
Well, Joe started working on some new material about a few years ago. Mm. Must have been about, I think, 2005, 2006. He hadn't done anything for a while because he had an old band, but that fell through. Yeah, but see, he had all this new inspiration, and then he asked me to fill in on a little bit of keyboard for him, and I hadn't played for ages, and I used to play piano, and so yeah, I started adding in a little bit of keyboard, and yeah, it started to gel really well, and so we started working on more and more music together.
Yeah,
excellent. Well, what I've heard so far, I really do like.
Cool.
And I was very, very impressed, and hence why I got in touch and said I'd love to do an interview with you and feature some of the music.
Cool.
So
can you actually take that a stage further now, and can you put it into a pigeonhole? I know pigeonholes are passé, really, but what sort of genre do you feel that you're working towards fitting into?
Well, I think in our fullest, we would call ourselves either a classic rock or a hard rock band. I mean, they're playing acoustically mostly at the moment, but at the moment, in our fullest, yeah, that would be kind of where we would have to be. All our inspiration comes from classic rock bands and late 60s, early 70s type stuff.
So. Yeah. I did actually see somewhere written down that one of your influences is Iron Butterfly. And when I saw that, I thought, this is why I like these guys. Because I think that In a Garden of Eden is a seminal album. Absolutely seminal
absolutely.
Album. My copy of it sadly got damaged, and I've hunted high and low to get a decent copy of it, and I can't get a decent copy anywhere, so I have to put up with horrible scratches and all that sort of thing, which is not very nice. And what sort of other bands are you sort of thinking that are influencing the material that you're writing?
Probably, I think Black Sabbath was one. The Cult,
Deep Purple,
crossover type thing. Yeah, Rainbow, that kind of thing, really.
Rainbow.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
cool.
Very much so.
Yes. Excellent. Nice choice of music. I must admit. So, do you sort of collaborate on the material, or is it one of you that comes up with the main ideas, or is it combination of ideas? How does it work?
Joe normally comes up with, say, like the bones of a song. He'll sort of like say, right, I've got a riff, or I've got like, he'll have like a verse, maybe a chorus in his head, and the basic building blocks, and then he'll sort of ask me to maybe fill on some chords he's not sure about or some bits that are missing, and then we both work on the arrangement and then get it sounding kind of how we want, and
mm-hmm.
Knock it into shape a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I do believe that, Joe, you're a bit of a phenomenal guitarist anyway, so... I know somebody who sings your praises highly, so...
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So anyway, yeah. And where do you feel, and I know this is probably a very difficult question to answer, but where do you feel that the inspiration for the material that you are writing is coming from? What inspires you, basically?
I think the time we live in musically, I think, is very, very bland and very watered down, and very, very. People are very worried about what everyone else thinks all the time. Everything gets merged in with everything else, and I think we really wanted to just make something that was just rocked, and there was no kind of pretentiousness to it, no kind of silly extra things around it. We just wanted to make something that would just hit that particular chord for us, and it would be satisfying to play and satisfying to hear, and not worry too much about the trimmings.
Cool. So you touched earlier on sort of the fact that you are a trained pianist, or you've done a lot of piano work. Have you sort of done any performing before joining Ardiff Bay?
I wouldn't exactly say trained.
Not trained?
No, I could play by ear as a child. I could kind of work out a tune from hearing it. And
okay,
I had a few piano lessons, but I didn't stay with that for very long. And I went off sort of playing music when I was a teenager. I didn't think I was going to get anywhere with it, so I didn't play any for ages. Hence, when he asked me to play some keyboard, it was kind of out of the blue again from sort of a long time ago.
Good.
And so, yeah. I guess that's why I sort of listen to a lot of Iron Butterfly and Deep Purple and things like that, so I could sort of get the hang of how to, play keyboard in a rock style. And
So
I went to the best sources to learn.
Certainly couldn't get much better than that.
Exactly.
So, something that we were talking about before was I found another band on MySpace called Our Death Bay. And it was sort of quite inspirational to listen to their material, and I'm thinking, this is really, really very good. And I thought, this explains why I love what you're doing. And so I was all set to ask you questions about these particular songs that I'd heard, how you got them to be so theatrical and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the dates that these recordings were made, and it was 2003, and I'm thinking, this just doesn't tie up. Because from the photographs I'd seen of you, and the person that I know as Joe, I thought, 2003, to be recording music like that just really doesn't fit together at all. So please forgive me on that one for sort of labouring under a misapprehension. So back to my sort of pre-programmed ideas. What do you think is the driving force behind what you're doing?
Well, just to because no one else really does that kind of music anymore, that real classic rock. And people do, and they do it in like a kind of Guitar Hero, screamy voice, funny way. And I think we really wanted to just do that, like, properly. And that's where the urge comes from. It's like, no one else is really doing it. And so we really just wanted to do, you know, without any kind of silliness to it, and just get that kind of feel and enjoy the power of it. And yeah, that was it, really.
Yeah, we both have a very strong love of music, just as a... I think it's just music's incredibly valuable, just as, like, a very... You know, everyone can express with it and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, connect to something with it and do something
absolutely,
powerful
yeah.
with it.
Couldn't agree with you more on that one.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, a, how would you put it?
A force,
yeah, just a bit of a, you've got a calling, you know, of the soul, haven't you? So,
yeah.
This is something we like to do and think music's very important. So.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I think it, a lot of the time, for me personally as a musician, I find it comes from in here.
Yeah, very much
in here. And, you know, there's no getting away from it. You've got to get it out there.
Mm.
And I find that that is a tremendous driving force for me personally.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've got all these ideas that are going round, screaming round, and let me out.
Yeah.
And so I find that if anybody was to ask me that question, that's one of the major ones, is that I've got this stuff, I've got to get it out there. So, That's me personally, though.
Yeah, cool.
What do you feel in your musical careers to date has been your greatest challenge so far?
Probably branching out lots and doing new agey music a little while ago, which is something that we both worked on a bit. That was way out, really, for us. New playing guitar very differently and thinking of lots of different things that we do now. I think. With Art of Bait, it's kind of just going back to what started out as in the first place in a lot of ways, or like the original idea of what I wanted to do, and you know, quite a lot of the way in between it's been a lot stranger and a lot more a lot kind of more experimental, I suppose. And this is kind of probably why Art of Bait is just supposed to be as straightforward as possible.
When you say new agey, I mean, are you talking sort of tinkly bells and weird and floaty
No, it's still quite dark, really.
Still quite dark.
Yeah,
because I mean, my own sort of take on the new age side of it, I did a lot of relaxation music.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is all sort of tinkly bells, and very melodic and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was wondering whether that was where you sort of got
it. I don't think there were any bells in it at all.
There was a sort of little bit of an incongruity there. And from new age tinkly bells to hard rock, you know.
It's a little bit of a weird crossover.
Just a bit weird crossover, yeah. So, what's next on the agenda for you?
A little while longer, we've got a while longer to play some more acoustic stuff that we're doing, a couple outdoor things, and just getting out there really in that way. And then we want to have a full band together soon as well, which obviously we're working on too.
Yeah, we're going to play some open mic nights and hope to meet some people and hopefully complete the lineup in a way.
Yeah. I did read somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you have sort of a fuller band set up and then it sort of didn't work and that sort of thing? Was it personality issues?
I think at the time it was. Yeah, just like other commitments, really. The two people we had lined up for it couldn't commit to the time and the, you know, the practicing. And so we, you know, obviously with something like this, you've got to put a lot of not just time but energy into it. And I think that was, you know, why they couldn't commit to it properly.
But we're just
you know, rolling on as we are and find the right people in the right time, I guess.
Do you think that's sort of fairly key, that you do what you're doing now and then let the right people come to you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Rather than going out and searching and auditioning and then finding that you don't really gel, and because again, you know, I mean, I've sort of seen that side of things happen.
Yeah,
it causes untold problems, or it can do.
Yeah.
Have you got a label lined up, or is anybody interested in you, or are you going to do self-releases, or
we've had one we've spoken to. We're going to check back, but I think at the minute we're keeping a very open mind, really, and seeing what happens. We'll be kind of, you know, based in Cornwall, but we're going to hopefully be up this kind of way too, and just keep an open mind about who we meet and who's interested in.
I think sometimes, again, you know, you can sort of force an issue, and
yeah, I think this is
rather
this
than letting it grow organically.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're just enjoying getting to play at the moment anyway, because we've been waiting for ages to get to go and just play and do some music. So now we've done this semi-acoustic version of the songs, and that just allows us to actually go out and have some fun with it now.
And on that note, really, the CD, is that anywhere near completion? Is it complete, or...?
We've got a 2-song demo, which sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's the 2 tracks that you sent to me, weren't they?
That will hopefully be available for either download or purchasing from us pretty soon. We'll put all the information up on the internet, on the MySpace page, and on Facebook and everything. So, hope that should be ready soon for...
Excellent.
Yeah.
Superb. And what about the writing? How's that coming on? Is there much to coming through at the minute, or...?
Not a lot. We're just tying up a few loose ends, really. We've got most of it together, and...
we've got quite a lot of songs sort of ready to go. Especially once we've got the full band line up, then we can play all of them, but not all of them translate down to semi-acoustic as well, so
we're just
picking and choosing at the minute.
Yeah, really.
Excellent. And what about gigs? Where's your next gig, or is there nothing in the pipeline yet? Or?
We've got Playfest on the 2nd of August in Boscawen Park in Truro. I think that's a couple of days, like an all-day festival in the park. That should be really nice.
Cool.
A few warm-ups between now and then, but in open mic nights in Cornwall as well, so building up towards that one for the minute, I think.
Yeah, nothing in North Devon yet?
Not yet, but we will.
Cool. And so how can people actually get in touch with you then? I know that we've got, you know, I've got details, but if you sort of tell people how they can get in touch.
Okay, well, we're on the usual Facebook, MySpace thing. We have...
It's myspace.com/ArdithBayUK. We have a Facebook page, so just put Ardith Bay in on a search, see if we come up.
Any other Twitters or anything like that?
No, we don't tweet.
You haven't tweeted. You're not Twitch yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, cool. Do you want people to email you?
Emailing's welcome. Yeah, we have an email. It is ArdithBayMail@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
It's been quite pleasant sitting here in the open air. It'll be a pleasure to come and listen to you very shortly.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Leona and Joe, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. You.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Living in security, a love that proved to be a comfort, never ending. For some, that's all they'll ever need, their purpose and their greed, or are they just pretending? They're still part of me inside, that just can't be denied, that still self-satisfied. I'm stronger by myself, it seems, and she still needs her dreams. We have to stop to pay a thing. As we sit there wanting more to be where we're going, we could sit never wanting more. Who knows where?
More, and the next track from them is called The Lord Keeps Killing Me.
But your Lord keep killing me so. I'm in a black mood, and I can love this as I am.
but your Lord keep killing me so. It isn't quite happy, it's like a dream and I'm in your head.
Well, that brings us more or less to the end of the show, and I'd like to thank you very much for listening. I'd like to thank Ardeath Bay for their input, and also Witchvox for their article by Reverend Omi. And so we're going to play out with a track by one of my favourite pagan bands, a band called Legend. And this is called Wind Song.
Springs, please, sir.
Sound of Legend and a track called Windsong, taken from their Lighting Extension album, which dates back to 1996. So anyway, as I said before, thank you very much for listening, and I would like to wish you love and light and blessed be, and go forth in peace. I'm the Merlin on Cauldron FM. Bye now.
Cauldron FM, the sound of magic. Cauldron FM is a Moonshadow Media production.
Yes, one take! Ha ha!
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.